plate a potential nugget.
And moving along, Katie, in the book, I also loved your reference to the Mary Poppins song, Spoonful of Sugar Makes the Medicine Go Down. We as a family are a big fan of Julie Andrews, who isn't, I guess, but we love to sing songs of Sound of Music as a family. And you say that there are often interesting bundling opportunities that we could consider to get boring tasks done. Could you talk about the insight here, especially, you know, maybe as a parent of 11-year-old and a 7-year-old, I'm curious, you know, how should we think about bundling for ourselves, but also in terms of making this sort of relevant for children?
Yeah, no, it's a wonderful question. And the reason I talk about Mary Poppins actually is funnily enough, given the way you asked that question, I think we do intuitively understand that to get things done with kids, and that that's why the song rings so true, you have to make things fun. They won't just do chores because they know it's good for them in the long run, like, or eat their broccoli because you tell them they'll live longer, or or make their bed because you say, like, good people are neat and tidy. Right? There has to be an element of fun. Kids don't understand that delayed gratification, those long-term goals that they're striving towards in the way that at least some adults can. But what's interesting is that research suggests we as adults assume, even though we get this about kids, we assume that we don't have the same challenges, that once we set our mind on a big goal that's distant, that we should be able to just do it, as Nike would say, and sort of work towards that. And research shows that's actually not right. So there's work by Ayelet Fishbach and Caitlin Woolley, Ayelet at the University of Chicago, Caitlin at Cornell, showing that people misunderstand their ability to just push through a difficult task. When they need to get some big goal done, most people will choose the most efficient route to success, and only a small subset of people will try to find a way to make the goal pursuit enjoyable in the moment. But people actually will do better and persist longer if they're encouraged to look for a fun way to pursue their goal. So to give you a really concrete example, if you're trying to exercise more regularly, the more effective route might be using the Stairmaster to get yourself in shape. But a more fun way would be to go to Zumba classes with a friend. And you'll persist longer if you actually do it the more fun way. But most people think, I just have a goal. I want to be in shape. Let me use the most effective route. And then they quit. So we get that we need to make it fun for kids. We don't appreciate we need to make it fun for ourselves. But the same rules apply to adults. We aren't very good at delaying gratification. We overweight the instant experience and underweight the long-term benefits. We just don't know that about ourselves the way we know it about kids. I think this insight is really important to all aspects of behavior change, but you mentioned temptation bundling, and that's actually a specific tool that I have studied that uses this, or that sort of builds on this insight. It's funny because the research happened in the reverse order. I did the research on temptation bundling, and later this work by Caitlin and Ayelet sort of pulled together the key insight that really is the heart of temptation bundling, that we need to make things fun or we won't do them. But temptation bundling is really a technique for that. I have studied it. The basic tool is, if you want to make something more fun, or in order to make it more fun and alluring and likely that you'll do it and not delay gratification, you link whatever feels like a chore with something instantly gratifying, and only let yourself have that instant gratification while you're doing the chore. So in the domain of exercise, where I just gave you another example, you could think about, you know, only let yourself binge watch your favorite TV show on Netflix while you are exercising at the gym. That would be a temptation bundle. You've linked something tempting with work, the workout, with the chore. So now doing the chore actually is something you look forward to because you want to get that tempting stimulus. Time may fly while you're doing the chore because it's linked with something fun. And you won't feel guilt about the indulgence after the fact, like, oh, I should have been doing something more valuable with my time, because you only did it while you were accomplishing your goal or getting your chore done. So you could only listen to your favorite podcast while doing household chores or making fresh meals, only let yourself have a snack you crave while you're, you know, doing your taxes, or if you're in school while you're studying or catching up on emails for work that you might not enjoy. There's all these different ways you can temptation bundle, and it converts something that you would normally delay and put off and not persist on into something you actually look forward to and so get done.
And there, actually, as I read your book, I felt there was an interesting nuance around the 0-1 element of it, in the sense, make that sort of sugar, if I may use the term, available just for that time when you're doing the chore and lock it up otherwise.
That's right.
It's not so much more of it, but actually absolutely none of it otherwise, if that makes sense.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that's really important, because if it's just, you can binge watch your favorite Netflix show anytime, including at the gym, now it's not a hook. Hmm. But if you're only allowed to do it at the gym, now you start craving trips to the gym to find out what happens next, right? So that is really key, is sort of linking them to each other. So it's an if and only if treat.
When COVID hit us around mid-March 2020, and when we went into the full lockdown, back in India in Mumbai, our staff that helped us with some of the chores around the home stopped coming. I recognize that this sort of a thing is a luxury in a country like India or Singapore. As we thought of divvying up the BJP, which is Bartan Jhadu Pocha as they say in Hindi, my wife took on the B and the JP was added to my job description. I still remember my first few days where I felt the 1-2 hours spent in doing that was a big time sink. Then it dawned on me that maybe I could use the time to listen to some of the music I like or the podcasts I like to learn from, like The Knowledge Project by Shane Parrish or The Tim Ferriss Show. Once I brought that shift, it completely changed my attitude towards getting the task done. To the extent that we are now slowly opening up and the staff are back, I'm finding that I'm not learning as much and my exposure to new ideas being throttled, because I had tied it to this activity which I was beginning to enjoy and I was looking forward to on a daily basis. Now, I don't want to romanticize the point Katie is making here, but I do think there's a power in thoughtful matching of activities for us to get win-wins out of situations. The other piece I've learned about habit formation is that we should never try and fight willpower. We are better off thinking about the environment and ensuring that what we want to do is in the path of least resistance. James Clear, the author of the book Atomic Habits, who was earlier at the podcast, speaks about it here.
So basically, you want to make the good habit the path of least resistance. As an example, I had one reader who, he would practice guitar and then he'd come back from his guitar session, put the guitar in a case and put it in the closet. And so he just wouldn't see it for like a week and they'd forget to practice. But so his new habit became, I'll take my guitar, put it on a stand in the middle of the living room, pass it all the time. It's right there. It's very obvious. It's also frictionless to just pick it up and play for 5 minutes. And so now he practices all the time because it's highly visible. You can also increase the friction of a task. So for example, if you wanted to watch less TV, you could take the batteries out of the remote control so you have to get up to turn it on manually. Or you could unplug the TV after each use and only plug it back in if you can say the name of the show that you want to watch. So it's now, you know, you can't just like mindlessly turn on and find something. And those are examples of kind of increasing the friction or reducing the friction associated with the habit. And the lower the friction is, the more convenient it is, the more likely a habit will be performed. And the higher the friction is, the more inconvenient it is, the less likely you're going to fall into that habit.
Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com.